of my life. We saw 2 weeks ago that Jesus said these words, in this world you will have trouble. Jesus' prediction, that not very welcome maybe for some of us to hear that, but Jesus said you will have trouble in this world. And the nature of the world that we live in is that there are challenges, that there are difficulties, and there are seasons in our lives where we just seem to go through these challenges and difficulties. We saw the Apostle Paul last 2 weeks ago was caught in a storm, a very, very bad storm. It nearly cost him his life. As we read the accounts in the book of Acts, we see that the storm wasn't sent by God. It wasn't an attack of the devil. The centurion who was looking after Paul decided to take Paul on a boat in a part of the world that was stormy. The sea was stormy, and it was a time of year where storms were expected. And so it was no big surprise when there was a storm, because it was a bad decision on the part of the centurion. It was past the weather patterns. And so what happened to Paul in that challenge, terrible storm, God brought him through that trial, that difficulty, that circumstance that he was in. Other things that happen in our life are specifically sent by God to shape us, to mold us, to challenge us, to change us. Part of God's training process in our lives. We look what happened to Abraham in terms of having a son. God very much led Abraham through a whole series of challenges. It wasn't just a short thing, lasted over many years. As God was dealing, God was wanting to change Abraham, and God was wanting to do something in Abraham's life. We see it in the life of Moses. We see it in the life of many, many of the people, the characters in the New Testament and the Old Testament, where God was bringing circumstances in their lives that were to change them. They were challenging, but the purpose was to bring something out of them, to build some character in them. Then James, writing in his book in the New Testament, says in chapter 1, count it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. And he had in mind, he talks about how these trials, God uses these things to shape us and to challenge us and to do something in our lives. But other things that happen to us are a specific attack of the devil. Peter says this, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Paul wanted to visit a city called Thessalonica in Asia Minor. And we read in 1 Thessalonians that Paul said, I wanted to visit you many times, but Satan stopped me. In other words, he wanted to do that. He wanted to go to the church and do something there in the church, but the devil stopped him. It was a specific attack of the devil. The devil stopped him doing what he felt he wanted to do and what he felt God had called him to do. The thing is, whatever the source of challenge in our life, whether it's just one of life's ups and downs, whether it's God molding and making and doing something in our lives, or whether it's attack of the devil, the response in our hearts for all those things, I believe, is this stuff, faith. So in one sense, it's easy. Wherever the challenge comes from, the response to any of those things is the same, and it's the response of faith. If it's trouble that's just part of life, we saw 2 weeks ago how God spoke to Paul and gave him faith to come through the trouble, to come through the storm. If it's God working in our lives, seeking to change us and to mold us, then it's faith I need to be able to go through that changing process, trusting that God is working, God's doing something in me through the challenging time. And if it's the enemy who's specifically attacking my life at this time, that I need faith. Faith as a protection over my life. And that's what I want to look at today. Let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you that you're a great God, that you're a wonderful God, that you are such a fantastic God this morning. And as we're talking today about the devil, we want to give you the total praise and declare that you are the sovereign, true and God. There is no other God but you. That you're far superior, that you're more powerful, that you're the only true living God. And that the devil is far, far less powerful than you are. Far, far less, Lord. And today we exalt the name of Jesus over this place, over our lives, over our families. We lift up the powerful name of Jesus. We want today to see what you've given us in terms of protecting our lives from the enemy. Lord, open our eyes to see. in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was a child, I used to love Saturday afternoons. On Saturday afternoons, we had a little black and white TV, before the days of colour TV, and we'd gather around the black and white TV, and on Saturday afternoons, my favourite was professional wrestling. There was, we used to watch guys like Mick McManus and Giant Haystacks and Big Daddy, these kind of colourful characters, as they would wrestle each other on the stage. And we all knew it was choreographed. We all knew it was decided beforehand who was going to win. Everyone knew it was only pretend, but they threw each other about and slammed each other down and headlocked and all kinds of stuff that looked so kind of dangerous and kind of don't try this at home kind of thing. But yet really we all knew that it was just professional. They were paid to act. They were paid to choreograph some kind of wrestling thing that was great entertainment. They looked as though they got really hurt, but then they sort of dust themselves down and come bouncing back. I suppose celebrity wrestling that's on nowadays is a little bit kind of like that. everyone. Thank you, Stuart. You can tell us about celebrity wrestling afterwards. But the thing about the wrestling is that no one ever got hurt. And maybe that was part of the appeal of it, that it was just for fun. But by way of contrast to that, in the book of Ephesians in chapter 6, this is what Paul says. Paul says this to the church in Ephesus. He says, "Put on the full armor of God so you can stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Ephesus as a city was a city that was the center for magic. It was the center for occult in that region. And so the citizens of Ephesus were very aware of the evil forces, the spiritual powers. Paul details these spiritual forces of evil, these powers, these spiritual authorities, these spiritual rulers. They paid homage. They played a big part in their lives in this city of Ephesus. And they operate in what Paul said here is the heavenly realms. And Paul says our struggle, as those that want to follow God, as those that want to go God's way, as those that are interested in God and His power, that there is a struggle. And the word, the interesting thing is, Paul uses the word for struggle here, which is a wrestling word. It's a word for a type of Greek wrestling where it was serious stuff. It wasn't just fun. It wasn't just something that was staged for entertainment. It was something that the loser suffered. The loser had their eyes gouged out. It was serious. You didn't want to lose in this kind of wrestling. And so Paul wants to give an image to the readers here in Ephesus of what you're engaged with is serious. It's not entertainment. It's not kind of, well, we'll just see how it goes. It doesn't matter. We know. There's something very kind of serious about what we're engaged with here. I'm not saying that to kind of scare us or to kind of make us afraid of the devil. One night, Barbara and I were soundly asleep in bed. We woke up, it was about 2 o'clock in the morning. We both sat upright in bed, and there was a terrible physical sense of evil in the room. I'm not a kind of spooky kind of guy, but there was something which we both, it was so oppressive and so against us that I couldn't even kind of open my mouth and pray. It was kind of a spiritual heavy opposition, and we got out of bed and wondering what to do about this spiritual attack, and we just God gave us the wisdom just to start to praise God, just to choose very kind of sort of stiltingly to praise God. As we did, something spiritually broke and something spiritually changed, and this heavy evil thing left. And praise God, we went back to sleep. And something broke. Actually, it was part of a whole series of things, and it was spiritually significant what happened that night. But it was there was a little battle. And I just saw clearly that we're people who have a foot in two camps. We've got a foot in the physical world that we live in here, this physical reality we live see around us. But also we have a foot at the same time in the unseen spiritual world that Paul calls the heavenly realms. There's like this kind of dualism. We're kind of in two places at the same time. It's like permeating this physical reality we live in is a spiritual dimension, another dimension we don't see with our eyes. We can't touch it. It's an unseen world, but it's very, very real. And it very much influences the physical world that we live in. The devil operates in this realm. The spiritual forces of evil, the powers of this dark world, the spiritual powers, these authorities, these spiritual rulers. He says our struggle, the thing that this battle isn't against people, flesh and blood. It isn't against things we can see. There's something behind the scenes. This morning it's important that we realize that the devil has something for us. And what the devil has for us, we don't want. If you go through, I went through the Bible and made a list of just the things the devil has for us. The devil has a will. God has a will for your life. The devil, there's things the devil wants to do for you. And it's it, verse 2 Timothy 2, 26. The devil has schemes against you. It's got, there's plots. There's tricks to use against you. The devil's very good at tricking us. Very clever. The devil has traps set for you, specific traps there, ready for me to fall in. The devil has planned specific days to attack us. The devil has temptations specifically for you. The devil has deceptions to fool us. And I want to just put those up there because we want to focus on God. We want to focus on His goodness and His plan. But Paul said something very interesting. Paul said, we are not unaware of the devil's schemes. In other words, Paul had learned through experience that the devil has schemes and plans and traps and tricks, specific things against us. Jesus said, the devil comes to kill and rob and destroy. We live in a world that's so obviously so much evil, and the devil is the personification and the spiritual force and power behind that is set against God's people. We're talking in an Alpha on Thursday, and someone said this picture that's so kind of clear of someone went shark fishing, and when they went the shark fishing, they managed to in the sea they managed to with their hook get the shark out of the water and land it in the boat. This huge shark was in the bottom of the boat thrashing around. Now that shark had been landed. Its fate was sealed because in about half an hour it would suffocate and that shark would die and no longer be a threat. But if in that half an hour I put my hand in its mouth or my foot in its mouth, it would bite it off. In fact, it was very angry at seeing its end, and so it would be even more kind of dangerous. At the cross, Jesus defeated the devil. And Jesus did something on the cross that was powerful and that defeated it. Like that shark, landing that shark in the boat. The destiny of the devil is now certain. But the devil is still thrashing around until Jesus comes back a second time. The devil is still dangerous if I put my hand in his mouth or my foot in his mouth. He's still dangerous, but he is going to be finally got rid of. And so we're told, the Apostle Peter says this. He says, be self-controlled and alert. Watch out. He's saying, come on, watch out. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So Peter's warning us, don't just stick your head in the sand. Don't just ignore this. Don't just say this doesn't matter, it won't happen to me. Listen, be self-controlled. Be alert, watch, look. Because you've got an enemy and he's prowling around. He's looking who he can have a go at. It says resist him. Resist him. He says to resist the devil, standing firm in the faith. And as you read the New Testament, the Christian life is described a number of places as a battle. And we are part of our our role, part of our, what it means to be a Christian is we're described as soldiers in an army in a battle. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10, the weapons of our warfare have power, divine power. Paul said to Timothy, be ready to fight. Be ready to fight the good fight and endure hardship like a soldier of Christ Jesus. A soldier is focused on a battle. And part of our Christian experience is to realize that what we're engaged with now, we are in enemy territory here on earth. That we to ask to pray, God, your will be done that is at the moment done in heaven. May it come about here on earth. In other words, it's not being done now here on earth because there's a battle going on. And so part of our prayer is to pray that word would happen, that would work out. What we're involved with is a serious thing. We can get hurt. In the Second World War, parachute packers were packing the parachutes for the people who were going to jump out of the airplanes. And they had a problem because when they came to use them in a conflict situation, out of 20, 19 parachutes opened, one out of the 19 on average didn't open. And so, you know, obviously that soldier jumped out of the airplane and was killed. So the people that were making, or packing the parachutes, obviously they were very concerned. The managers that were responsible were very concerned. The people who were packing it didn't see how important it was that it was packed perfect, that everyone was perfect. But because it didn't affect them or whatever, but they didn't kind of understand the gravity of what they were doing. So the manager came up with a brilliant idea. What he decided to do was to allow them the pleasure of testing every one of their parachutes. And guess what? It went up to 20 out of 20. All the parachutes opened perfectly from then on. Once the packers realized that they had to test them, and they didn't know which one it was going to be they were going to test, they made very sure that every single parachute was perfect. They didn't realize, those parachute packers didn't realize the gravity, the fact they were in a war, what they really counted, really mattered what they did. And I think that it's important for us to realize that it is really important. This battle we're in is important. It's something we can't just ignore. We can't just stick our head in the sand. I want us to see this morning that God has given us, fantastic, God has given us protection. And one of the specific things that Paul details in this letters is faith. Faith as a protection. Listen to this bit in the armor of God in Ephesians 6 that you're praying this morning in the prayer meeting. Ephesians 6 and 16. Paul talks about different pieces of the armor. And then he goes through these different items of the armor. Then he says, in addition to all this, in addition to all the armor, he's mentioned different items of the armor. He comes in verse 16 to the point where he said, in addition to all these items of the armor, in addition to this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. It's a fantastic verse, this. It's a wonderful verse. It's a very empowering verse of the Bible because Paul is saying to us that we've got some protection from God, from that God's given us. We've got a way of protecting. We don't just have to take whatever the devil wants to throw at our lives. The devil is explained as a creature who's intelligent and powerful. Not as intelligent and powerful as God, but more intelligent and more powerful than me. Who's got this will, these things he's got against my life. See, the thing is that if the devil can mess up my life or other people's lives, it's a way the devil can get back at God. God lives in unapproachable light. God lives in heaven in unapproachable light. And when the devil inspired people to at the death of Jesus, the devil didn't realize, as it says, the devil entered into Judas. Read that in the book of John, that Judas, this man, was to betray Jesus. It says the devil entered into him, inspiring him to betray Jesus. Not realizing, of course, the devil can't look into the future. The devil didn't know that what he was going to do, the very act of killing Jesus, was going to be the way he was going to be defeated. Never knew it. And so you see this amazing conflict on the cross. And Jesus said, "It is finished." And something very profound and powerful happened on the cross in terms of the defeat of the devil. And so the devil's looking, the devil's this defeated, like this shark thrashing around. And in this last time before Jesus returns again, before the devil's going to be put out of the way, the devil's looking who he can devour, who he can damage. And he can't damage God, but he can try and have a go at his people. God wonderfully has given us a fully effective protection. Do you see the words it says here? The shield of faith, which can extinguish, which can put out all the flaming arrows of the enemy. So wonderfully, God has given us a protection that can protect us from everything and anything that the devil would want to throw at our lives. It's good news this morning. Let's look at this verse in a bit of detail. This shield of faith, Paul describes a Roman soldier. He goes through different pieces of armor of the Roman soldier. When it comes to the shield, he describes the word that Paul uses for the shield is the name of the Roman shield that was a big shield. It was about 4 foot high, about 2.5 foot wide. It looked like a door. This thing looked like a door. It was huge. It wasn't a little round shield, you know, you sometimes see on the movies. It was this big shield that covered the soldier. So that there was protection. So whilst the soldier was behind the shield, they were safe. They were safe. Because they put the shield there, and whatever came against the shield, they were the other side of it. And so they held onto the shield. The shield was made of wood, and then there was some metal on the outside, and the metal was to put out the flaming arrows. So as this arrow came flying through the air, with fire on the end of it, as it came and hit the shield, that the soldier would hold it, and the metal would put out that shield, that firing arrow. And so God's given us full protection. This shield is fantastic. It's a full protection that we've got. In Roman battle formations, what they used to do is they used to stand in like a kind of a square thing, and they used to lock their shields together. They held it so that 2/3 of the shield covered their own body, and 1/3 of the shield covered the person next to them. And so you had this interlocking shield. You're protecting yourself, but you're also protecting the person next to you. And so it was impenetrable, and so this wall of arrows would come flying over and just bounce off, or just stick in, and that was it. And God's given us wonderfully a way of protecting our own lives and of protecting others. This shield of faith, it's for ourselves and it's for others. It's wonderful. You can protect your family. You can protect your children. You can protect those in your cell group. You can protect those around you. God's given us this shield of faith, and it's fully protective for us. It can put out all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Isn't it good to know that God's given us something which is fully effective? That it's going to work, this thing. There's a story of an explorer in the jungle. And as he was going through the jungle, he came across a sound high up in the tree of a bird squawking and squawking and squawking. He thought, what is it? So he climbed a bit to have a look. And he noticed that the bird was sat on a nest, and there was a snake slithering along the branch towards this nest. He just sat and watched what was happening, this kind of drama unfolding before him. And the bird, it was the mother bird, was squawking and trying to frighten off the snake. But the snake had seen the nest and wanted what was inside the nest, the baby birds inside the nest. So it was heading for the nest. Then what happened was the explorer was quite amazed, because what happened then was the mother bird flew off. And the explorer thought, well, she's just left the babies to be eaten by the snake. That's kind of the end of it. But then what happened was the mother bird came back holding in her beak a leaf, a single leaf. She went over to the baby birds and placed this leaf over the baby birds. The snake carried advancing. And then suddenly the snake froze as though he had seen some enemy. And the snake stopped turned round, recoiled, and went back again. Later on, the explorers kind of relating this incident to other people. They found that that particular leaf was poisonous to the snake, and the bird knew that. And that simple, fragile leaf was enough to protect those young birds. And what God's given us, a shield of faith, it's only faith. Seems very flimsy, doesn't it, faith? But this shield of faith is enough to totally protect, as that leaf kept those defenseless birds safe from that snake. Faith can totally protect our lives. It can totally keep our lives free when the devil comes to try to attack us. I just want to look today at a practical example of this worked out. And if you've got your Bibles, you want to turn to Luke 4. In Luke 4, we see there an account of where Jesus is confronted by the devil, where the devil comes after Jesus. Jesus didn't go looking for the devil came after him. So there's Jesus in the desert in Luke chapter 4, and the devil came to Jesus. And he was fasting. Jesus was in this desert. He was fasting for 40 days. And he was tempted during that time. He ate nothing. And he was very hungry. And the devil came to Jesus when Jesus was frail and weak and vulnerable. See, the devil's no kind of nice sport. Looking when you're strong. Looking when you're kind of fresh and ready to go, ready to give him a good fight. The devil looks when we're tired, when we're run down, when we've had a hard time, when things aren't going so well, when we're discouraged. The devil looks when is a good time, when's the most vulnerable time to go for you, for me. When is the time that he could go for? And that's what he went for Jesus. He went for Jesus when Jesus was at his most vulnerable. Very, very hungry, very tired. After 40 days of fasting. This is what in verse 3. The devil said to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Now we don't know whether the devil whispered those words into Jesus' mind. Whether the devil appeared physically in front of Jesus and said those. We don't know. But somehow Jesus discerned that temptation to turn those stones into bread was not just his own thoughts, but he discerned it was the devil speaking to him. And it's really important that like Jesus, we can discern when it's what is our thoughts and when the devil is speaking something. And Jesus discerned that this was the devil speaking because Jesus knew it wasn't his time to manifest the glory of the fact that he was and is God. It wasn't the right time. It wasn't his time. And he'd been fasting and it wasn't the time to start eating. And so he realized it wasn't just the thought passing through his head. It wasn't just a sort of mirage in the desert, as it were, in the heat of the desert. But he realized the source of this thought that came into his head. He realized that it was the devil. Because he didn't... What he did was very interesting. Is he confronted it. So the devil said something, and Jesus lifted up a shield of faith. What Jesus did was he didn't enter into debate. He didn't think, oh yeah, perhaps I could. Perhaps it wouldn't be harm just to turn a little rock into a kind of... He didn't enter into any kind of debate or dialogue or compromise. He recognized the thought where it came from, the voice wherever it was that came. He recognized the source of it, and immediately he did one thing in his frail, weak state, is he lifted up the shield of faith. Because faith, the shield of faith, is faith in God and faith in what God says. And so Jesus there, God himself, answered in verse 4, "It is written." Those words saying, I believe, I know, I trust in. It is written, therefore it is true. I utterly depend on the shield of what is written, on the very words of God. So he was placing his whole defense on the words of God. There was no kind of debate, no kind of, let's think about this, let's work the pros and cons, let's kind of see if I could get away with something here. It was, he recognized where it come from, so he put the faith in God's words, and he said back to the devil, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone." And he simply quoted the Bible at the devil. The thought came into his mind, and the way he responded to that thought was simply to lift up the words of God as a shield over his life. And that shielded his whole life. It put out this flaming arrow. You see, these flaming arrows, what they did is sometimes they got hollow arrows and they put combustion material inside the arrow. Other times they wound cloth round, dipped it in some kind of oily stuff, lit it, and then flew it so that flying through the air, imagine how frightening that would have been to be on the other side of seeing all these out of nowhere, suddenly seeing this wall of fire come towards you. Now, as you held your shield, okay, you'd have to brace yourself ready for it. As it hit the shield, the combustible material would have flared up. The oil, whatever the pitch, whatever was on the thing would have flared as the impact as it hit the shield. So imagine holding a shield with fire licking up the outside. Now your impulse would be to drop it and run. But of course that's the worst thing to do. If you dropped it and run, you'd then be a target for your enemy. So those soldiers had to grit their teeth and just trust that that layer of metal on the outside of that shield was going to put out the fire, that it wasn't going to in fact catch the wooden shield on fire itself, but that it was going to put it out. And so I don't know how long that would have lasted while the thing burnt itself out, but that took some courage to stand there and take it and let it flare up. When the devil sends some things against our lives, and we lift up the shield of faith, and it hits our lives, something happens. The devil brings something, a challenge in our lives. Sometimes we've got to hold the shield of faith, hold on to what God said, and keep holding on to it. And what the devil's doing is attack may continue and continue and continue while it continues to burn this flaming arrow. But it will extinguish it. It may not be in 10 seconds. If it's an attack of the enemy, it may not be in days. It may be in terms of weeks. But it will extinguish it. Because look what it says. Can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the enemy. And so the very temptation when we're under pressure, when the devil attacks us, often he attacks us in our minds. Often it's a thought that comes into our mind. That's the very, very often way. Because if the devil can convince us it's our own thoughts, then we'll entertain it. We won't do what Jesus did and challenge it straight away. We'll think it's our own thoughts, so we'll start to mull it over and think about it and think, oh yeah, there's an element of truth in that, I suppose. And at that very point, Jesus saw that it was from the enemy. And so we can pray and we say, God, give me eyes to see. The more we get into the Bible, the more we understand the sort of things God says and God does and how God works, and what God's heart is, the more it gives us clarity about what the enemy does and the enemy says and the schemes of the enemy. And the more it's obvious what the enemies are. Because Paul, the seasoned apostle, who'd been through so much, said, we are not unaware of his schemes. The reason he was not unaware of the devil's schemes is because he'd been through so much and God had brought him through so much and he'd seen what the sort of things the devil's up to. That's why, as we saw, verse we saw earlier on, be alert, watch out. Jesus lifted up these words to protect his mind and his life. Verse 5, the devil led him to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kings of the world. Notice the devil didn't give up. Okay, first arrow hit, the thing flared up, and the devil just didn't say, oh, well then, fair enough, you know, and walk away. But the devil is persistent. And often you find negative thoughts are persistent in our minds. They come again and again. The devil just doesn't give a one go and think, well, you know, never mind. But we'll try and look by persistence. That's the wonderful thing. See, what did Jesus do? Well, the devil said to him, I'll give you all authority and splendor for what has been given to me. if you worship me, it will all be yours. And Jesus again used the shield of faith. And he said, this is what's written in the Bible. Jesus said in verse 8, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Do you see why it's important for me to know the Bible, learn the Bible, and have these verses ready? It's so, as a soldier, I'm ready, I'm armed. If the devil drops an accusation or a thought in my mind, and I don't know, I haven't got the weaponry to defend myself, I then think, well, there's a verse in the Bible somewhere about that. And you sort of start reading through, you've got to try and find it. If I know these key verses that are in the Bible, that are there, ready to go, they're like weapons ready to be used, I can get them out and I can use them. Jesus, again, didn't enter into debate, didn't allow the thought, the temptation that Jesus could have all this splendor, rather than go the way of the cross, rather than go the way of humility, rather go the way of suffering, rather than go that path, the devil said, there's an easier way. Come this way. And Jesus said, no, it is written. Jesus used God's word against the devil, and it blocked the devil. Again, it put out the flaming arrow of the evil one. And then, verse 9, the devil led him to Jerusalem, had him stand on the highest point of the temple. And he said, the devil said to him this, if you are the Son of God, you can throw yourself down. Now here, the devil is quoting the Bible at Jesus. Interesting, isn't this? The devil says, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so you will not strike your foot against the stone. See, the devil was misquoting, was misusing the Bible. Because God never wrote that was written for us in a certain context, for us to mean a certain thing. And the devil was using it against Jesus. Which is why it's so important that I know the Bible, that I'm soaked in the Bible, that I know the context, I know kind of what the Bible says, so I'm strong. So when the devil tries to twist what the Bible says, or to try to undermine. See, the devil wanted to undermine Jesus' trust. Because if he could get Jesus to drop the shield and run away, he'd have won. If the devil can get us to drop the shield and run away and think, well, God's word hasn't worked, so I better find some other way of protecting myself, then he's won. But if I will hold firm to what God says, then it will extinguish the arrows. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus answered, it says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Jesus held up the shield for the third time. And verse 13, when the devil finished his tempting, he left him. An opportune time. And see, the devil comes in seasons. The devil had a season where the devil really focused an attack on Jesus. And he pushed it and he pushed it and pushed it. But as Jesus resisted the devil, as Jesus would look in the passage in Peter, resist the devil with the shield of faith, and the devil left. So Jesus, he used the shield of faith. Paul tells us that the enemy here is going to fire flaming arrows. Those will be lies coming into our heart. You can't do it. God doesn't love you. It's not going to work. This Christianity stuff isn't going to work. Lies come into my mind. They're flaming arrows. Thing is, see, God's such a positive God. God's such an affirming God. God's such a loving and accepting God. God, that we just, as you say, as you read the New Testament, you see God's wonderful acceptance and love for us. And yet the devil is so negative and looking to tear down and rob and kill and destroy. And so these thoughts that come into my mind can be so negative. And God's given me the shield as a way of stopping those negative thoughts. It can be these fiery arrows can be a temptation to sin, something, a temptation to do something wrong. And as I lift up the shield of faith, saying, no, God says this, whatever God says, and that arrow is, that's my experience. I'm sure it's your experience too, that we're all tempted in many ways. There are different things you're tempted. When the person sat next to you, you're tempted in different ways. If when that temptation's come, I lift up the shield of faith, I say, no, this is what God says. So I'm trusting, I'm believing in God in this situation. And then amazingly, God, that temptation can be resisted. If it's a feeling of depression, of loneliness, of rejection. Again, it comes like a fiery arrow to burn, to destroy, to have such a devastating effect on my life. And again, as I lift up the shield of faith, as I trust in what God says about me. And it may not be something, I'm not suggesting it's some kind of magic wand that just immediately kind of sorts it out. That just as this soldier had to hang on while that flaming arrow burnt itself out, sometimes we have to hang on to what God says. We might have to carry on hanging on to what God says. I want to encourage you today that the shield may get hot. There's the flaming arrows burn against the shield. As the flames lick up the outside, that shield could get quite hot, and I might be tempted to drop it. There's a story of the Duke of Wellington, and an inventor was trying to sell him a bulletproof waistcoat that he had made. And so the inventor claimed that this waistcoat was marvelous. All that the Duke needed to do is put on this waistcoat, and if anyone tried to assassinate him, he'd be protected by this bulletproof waistcoat. The Duke was impressed, said, "This sounds good," and said, "Come on in, let's show it to me." So he showed him this bulletproof waistcoat. He asked the inventor to put the bulletproof waistcoat on himself, so the inventor put the bulletproof waistcoat on. He then said, "Fetch me a rifleman, please. I want to test this out." At which point the inventor made a sharp exit out the door. You see, the thing is that what God's given us is effective. But I've got to trust. And that's the thing. That inventor did not trust in his invention. And thank God we haven't got to trust in our own resources and our own selves. Because we know our weakness. But thank God that he's given us something which is strong, which is effective, and which can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. It's a lovely verse, Isaiah 54:17. Isaiah 54:17 is a verse I use so much in my own life. It says, "No weapon that is formed against me will succeed." It's a promise from God that whatever the devil forms against us, whatever his particular strategies and things he brought against us, that it will not succeed. Isaiah 54:17 is such a great shield to lift over my life when it feels like there's this flaming arrow pounding down upon me. To lift that shield over my life. I love 2 Timothy 4:18. 2 Timothy 4:18, where Paul says, "The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack." Paul had confidence in his life. Paul had confidence. 2 Timothy 4:18, "The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack." He knew that God was going to get him through, whatever the attacks of the enemy. Some days I feel I can't cope, whatever the situation is. I can't do this, whatever the thing I need to do. I love Paul's advice to the Philippians, Philippians 4:13. "I can do all things through him who gives me strength." I can do all things through him who gives me strength. And we need a whole battery of these wonderful promises of God. Just as Jesus had them all ready. So when the devil came, Jesus was ready to lift each one up. Jesus didn't just quote the same verse again and again and again. Each blow was met with a parry. The opposite kind of blow from Jesus. And whatever the blow the devil intends against us, we need a whole selection of wonderful verses in our heart, ready to lift up, cover our lives, shelter over our lives. Let's close our eyes together. Thank you, Lord. Wonderful Jesus. Lord, this morning I want to thank you that you have given us this protection. Lord, that you have left us with such a legacy, such an array of spiritual protection for our lives. And Lord, we want to be those that, like Paul, can say we're not unaware of the devil's schemes, because we're alert, because we're ready, because we're those who are ready to fight the good fight. We're those who are ready to train to be soldier in this battle that you've called us to be in. And so, Lord, I'm asking that you take us on this journey of equipping, that you take us and teach us, show us how to use the different pieces of armor that you've given us. And help us to hold this shield of faith up over our lives. So that when we stand in that day of evil that Paul talks about, that, Lord, we can stand firm with the shield of faith in place over our own lives and shielding others in our family, in our cell group, people around us. God, help us to be strong. Help us to be strong in these things. Lord, I'm asking this morning that you come by the power of your Holy Spirit and that you would take each of us deeper on this journey of being effective for you. Lord, we want to take seriously this warning of Peter where he said that the devil is prowling like a lion, looking who he may devour. And Lord, I pray that not one of us, not one of our family, none of us, Lord, will be devoured by the devil, but that we will be alert, that we would resist him, that we'd be those who would make it through the long haul, right through to heaven, Lord. We're asking for that strength. We're asking for that wisdom. We're asking for that alertness. Lord, today we want to reject the devil's plans. We want to reject the devil's wills for our life. We want to reject the devil's schemes for our life. We want to reject the devil's traps for our lives. We reject his trickery. We reject everything he has schemed against us. We reject it. We don't want it. God, we don't want it. We want your will, your kingdom.